make it. I know for some of you it was quite a journey through land and across sea, and I know that Maisie would be so happy to have you all together, and it's good for us to gather today to remember her life and to thank God for her long life and for her unique life and for the blessing that he made in our lives and all the different things that she meant to us. So as we begin our time of remembering and thanking God, let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us to this place. Thank you for bringing us through some of the circumstances too, for safe journey and travel here. Thank you for Maisie. Thank you that we can look back on her life and that we can celebrate as friends and families all the good things, all the memories that we have of her, and also return thanks to you for her and the blessing that you made her in our lives. And so we thank you, Father, and commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read to you some scriptures from the Bible, from God's Word, that are a great comfort to us in a time of loss. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And some marvelous words from King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, which at a time of great questioning and a time of great hurt still brings comfort to us when we just reflect on their simplicity and their wisdom. He said, "There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." Well, Maisie left a list of some of her favorite hymns that she would like sung at her memorial service, so we're going to try one of those now, hymn number 493. And I say try so you don't feel pressured. "493, It Is Well With My Soul."
Thank you.
to give any of you an opportunity that would like to share a memory or say something about Maisie at this time. If there's something you were thinking of or would like to say, you're welcome to come on up to the front here. We'll use this mic. I'm recording this so we can, and that's not to scare you, by the way, but so we can put this online so Joel will be able to listen to other family members that aren't here. But anyone want to come up and say a few words about Maisie? I see posturing for it, so come on up.
Just a few words. Thanks, everybody, for being here. I'm Warren, one of Maisie's nephews. I just sort of thought I'd put a few things together today just because we don't all get to be in the same room very often, if at all. But Maisie, we all knew her as an independent spirit. She is a complete character. She went through her life as completely as an individual. She traveled, she had fun. She never really settled down with any or got married. She just made her own way all the time. And which is, you know, when she just chose to come over to Victoria, that was just one of those signs of making her own way in her life. And she stuck to it here. And some of you are here, some of the families here in town, the rest of the family's a bit scattered about. And none of us really got to see her that much, but you know, she did a few things. She was a bit of glue for all of us, whether we know it or not. She remembered the kids' birthdays. She remembered Christmas. She remembered Easter. She always remembered to write a letter and say hello. So, and I can remember her stories once in a while that she'd come over to our house and maybe get a glass of wine in her, and she would tell stories about traveling and partying and having a good time. There's not much really else to say, except for I'd like to thank Tim and the people at the Salvation Army home where she spent her last few years for everything they did for her. Because that was her home. That's where she finished, and that's where she died in peace. And I think the one thing that she always tried to do is figure out a way to make sure somehow that the family stayed in touch or got in contact or knew where each other was. So so here's to Maisie, and thanks for being her.
I'm Jeff, and I'm another one of the nephews of Maisie. Warren was right that saying that Maisie was the glue of the family. She basically pulled the two sides back together again. All of my three kids from the birthdays have always gotten cards from her. She knew she was like a walking encyclopedia of the family, and she just knew everyone's birthday, when they were born, who's going in which direction. She filled us in from like 30 years of missing it, and I know she was especially important to my daughter. They spent a lot of time talking on the phone, and she was quite an interesting character. And I remember once Maisie was telling us stories about her traveling and all the things she's done, and one of my favorite stories I heard from Maisie was when she was thrown in jail in Egypt because she was at the Anwar Sadat's palace or something. She was taking pictures of doing something that she shouldn't do, and she ended up managing to get arrested there. And she used to tell us that story, and it was one of her prouder moments there, I think. So, you know, I think that's just a really good example of the type of person she was. We're really going to miss her, you know, and I hope you all realize what a great person we've lost. Thank you.
Anyone else? Jeff actually ended up a partner in crime for something that I wouldn't do. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But interestingly, just a couple of weeks ago, Sunset Lodge mailed out an information sheet to go to fill out information on the residents there. So, and this past winter, I guess much of January and February, the home had a quarantine because of the flu, and it just kept going around. So nobody could visit for a couple of months. So when I did get in to see her and filled that out, I got a lot of the information that was so good to know and have organized in one place. She was born in Edmonton on December 8th, 1921, to Joseph and Annie Carr, and the youngest of four children, little sister to Alan, Harold, and to Muriel. She grew up in the Lower Mainland and graduated from Burnaby South High School. In fact, one of the favorite memories that she told me about was when her dog, Rinty, saved her from an assault when she was 17. I guess there's some guy coming onto the property that was had some evil desires. She just always said, oh, that dog, it was a big dog. He just stood up and put both his paws and both shoulders and looked at him, and the guy ran away. And of all the different jobs that she did, I think one of her most favorite jobs was being the paymaster, or as a paymaster at the PNE. She talked about that. And when you look at her notes that she's kept, the tiniest writing that you've ever seen, and actually, as a credit to the home, she started keeping those notes again in those small little, just as small as ever. But her thoughts organized and lists and numbers and including lottery numbers that she would sit there and work out different combinations and send me off to buy a ticket. And you know, as has already been said, the Lower Mainland was not big enough place to hold her, and she did travel. She traveled lots of places. I haven't seen anything from South America, but do any of you remember her going? So it might be South America and Antarctica that she never got to. All the other continents she covered pretty good. And never married, but she enjoyed her siblings' kids and then enjoyed their kids. And I've watched videos of piano playing with her and violin recitals and heard the updates. And I remember when she was still living in the apartment, when she would call me up, she'd say, oh, I'm going on a trip to the mainland. I'm going to be gone for 3 or 4 weeks, so I won't be here if you call to visit. And she was so excited, and then tell me about things that she had done and riding in the car and trips here and there and excitement and just fun family times. And she also really had a real community of friends in Garrett Place, although still was very unique. And so as much as she belonged there, she was also very independent there. And that was something that she recreated at Sunset Lodge too. It was a rough start for her at the beginning, but as she started to get better and feel better and start remembering things, she'd say, oh, when I went into the hospital, I had a book sitting on my chair. Do you know where that is? She remembered that, but she really got to have a real community of friendship with the staff there, and a lot of the staff were really good. They really helped her and took care of her and nursed her back to health. She one of the lists that I found, she was just writing down things that she liked. She liked reading nonfiction. She enjoyed the news, and she followed stories on the news. And just at Christmas, we gave her found an atlas for her. My wife Susan and I gave her a dictionary because she didn't have a dictionary, and it was a challenge in the end because she had to find something that was thorough enough but not too heavy. So we found this good little dictionary, but she wanted an atlas because she wanted to look up where places were when she'd see a story on the news. And I think years ago too, she kept track of earthquakes. So if there was an earthquake somewhere, she would look it up on a map and she would mark it. And each year she had a different map. And so I imagine the travel in her probably was imagining what those places were like. But she was really connected to the world, and she really enjoyed a lot of things, classical music and opera. And then for something new in her mid-80s, she decided she'd like to get on the internet. Because she kept seeing these things at the end of television shows she'd watch. If you want to see more of this interview, go to here. And in fact, she had internet in her room the Monday before she passed away, and that was the Wednesday I was going to pick up a new netbook, sort of a light laptop, trying to sort that out. So she really was wonderful. She really was She really was fun. That thing, that partner in crime thing, when she first went into the hospital back in 2009, because she took this pill, Librium, her whole life, which kept her neck from going over. And they would, one of the house doctors wouldn't give it to her. So she called me and she said, Tim, would you come over for a visit? I said, sure. So I went and saw her in the hospital. And I've got my security pass on for being clergy there at the hospital. That lets me in areas sometimes that other people can't get into to visit. And she said, they won't give me my Librium. So would you go to my apartment and get the bottle and bring it to me? I said, I must have had that face, because she says, you're not going to do it, are you? I said, Maisie, I can't. I've got a bit of an official capacity here. If they find out I'm sneaking drugs and the doctors won't give the patients, that's going to be big. She said, don't worry, just forget I asked. How is the weather today? And I found out she got Jeff to come over and go get him and take him to her in the hospital. So that was good. It was, there's so many memories that we have. I have so many memories of her. I remember one thing very distinctly, because I thought, when she said it, I thought, I'm going to share that someday if I'm doing Maisie's funeral. And she said, Tim, she says, when you get older, you won't be afraid about dying. You'll be excited about heaven. You'll see. She says, I'm not afraid to die. I'm excited about heaven. Now, that was before the last 3 years. The last 3 years were really hard on her. But even in that, she came to a place of peace. When, again, it would have been in the fall of 09, and Susan and I had gone over to the hospital visit with her, and she looked really, really bad. And the doctors had said that she was bleeding and she wasn't well enough to operate, and they're going to give her some antibiotics and see what happens. So she told us this, and as I usually did when I finished visiting with her, I prayed with her. So I prayed that God would heal her. Well, fast forward a number of months, she's in Sunset Lodge, she's feeling better, and she said to me, you know that time when I was in the hospital and they thought that I was going to die and you prayed that God would heal me? And I said, yeah. She says, when you prayed that he would heal me, I was thinking, oh no, please don't, just let me go. And she gave me a little heck for praying that she would get healed. So I said, okay, Maisie, I promise, I'll always ask you from now on, if you want, before I pray for you, if you want me to, whether you want to be healed or not. So fast forward to the 20th of March, the Tuesday. And the home had called and said that she was getting worse and that she didn't want to go to the hospital. She said to them, this is my home. The Sunset Lodge is my home. I want to stay here. So I sat with her for the afternoon and just kind of worked away, and she dozed in and out. And then it was 5:45, and she was actually starting to feel a bit better. And I thought, okay, so I got to go home for supper and I have meetings in the evening. And I said, okay, Maisie, I'm going to leave. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, now, do you want me to pray that God heals you? Or do you want? And she said, just pray. He knows what's best. Just ask him for what's best. And she had that peace. And so that's what we prayed for. And it was just a little bit more than 12 hours later that she went into his presence. And she was at peace. She wasn't upset. She was very restful and accepting of it. And that really inspires me to see how she even late into life, didn't stop living her personal faith in Jesus. Sure, she struggled. Sure, there was things that were really difficult, but she still sought God and hung in there, and he brought her through those things. And I can just imagine what she talked to you guys about in her phone calls, or things that she would mention, and maybe you got daily updates about the kid that died and went to heaven and came back, and things like that. But she was she loved Jesus so much, and he did so much in her life, and she was so excited and resting in him, and that can be a comfort for us today, because as much as we miss someone who's such a great character, and there's so many other fun stories that can be told about her, to know that she was okay in the end, and she's okay now because of her faith in Jesus, she's in heaven with him, and we can thank God for that today. So let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for taking care of Maisie. Thank you for giving her peace in the midst of great trials and struggles, and for some of the other things that she learned through those struggles. Trusting in you as a very aged woman, but still experiencing your faithfulness and your promises. And I know, Lord, that today that you are the same way towards all of us, that just as you were faithful to Maisie, you'll be faithful to us as we call on you for your comfort and your care and your support and your guidance as we live on. Make us like her in many ways. And inspire us, Lord, by the things that inspired her and that drew her to faith in you. We thank you for her. I pray for her family, Lord. I pray that you would bless them and give them great comfort in their many memories, in their looking back and remembering good times, and even what's already been shared, and the many more things that could be shared. I pray that you'll bless them, that you'll give them peace, and that you'll give them the same hope and love for you that Maisie had for you. And for her friends, and for the people that cared for her at the home, those that are missing her presence as well, and that knew her in a more local way, and in a different way, we lift them up to you and commit them to you as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Maisie. Thank you for blessing us, making her part of our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So another hymn that we'll sing is The Old Rugged Cross. This is actually one, the morning that Maisie passed away, I was playing some songs off of YouTube, and The Old Rugged Cross was one, and I'd forgotten that it was her favorite, but not surprising, one that came up. So 186. Wonder that was her favorite, because she did cherish the cross of Jesus. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, so that if we believe and trust in him alone, those sins will be forgiven. And it's on that basis that we are confident and know that Maisie's in heaven today. Let's close our time together, and let's pray together the Lord's Prayer the Lord taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore.